Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of the disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us, and do not subject us to the final test.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend to whom he goes at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived at my house from a journey, and I have nothing to offer him.' And he says in reply from within, 'Do not bother me, the door has already been locked, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up to give you anything.' I tell you, if he does not get up to give the visitor the loaves because of their friendship, he will get up to give him whatever he needs because of his persistence. And I tell you, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. What father among you would hand your son a snake when he asks for a fish, or hand him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel according to Luke.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
How shall we approach God? The vast topic of prayer is before us this morning. Let me tell you a little story about Betsy, a single mom with 2 teenagers, because the story sets the stage nicely for my sermon this morning. Betsy began praying from her heart without ceasing. She came to my church and the Partners in Hope, which is an on-the-ground social service organization in Troy, and the Richards Chapel in Troy when she had lost her job. She reconnected with the church in a powerful way, being able to use her skills as a chef for the Richards Chapel. Thus she had her job. But the highlight of my encounter with her was praying aloud for her. It brought tears to her eyes, and she thanked me. It had been a very, very long time since someone had prayed aloud for her. Shared prayer from the heart is powerful. What did you think about Abraham's prayer with God in this morning's first lesson? To me, it seemed that Abraham was very close and comfortable in this encounter with the Creator. Their exchange was even presented as human conversation bargaining. Abraham was bold, but also humble. I'll say more about this in a moment. But first, let's address prayer to God shared between 2 people. In preparing my sermon this morning, I looked to Philip Yancey's very fine book called Prayer, Does It Make a Difference? One testimony in the book says this about praying through human conversation. "I learned to pray with my husband late at night. We were going through a rough patch of marriage and didn't know which way to turn. I felt so inarticulate at first. I had never prayed aloud in group prayer meetings. They terrified me. But with my husband by my side, I could simply let God know my needs. Prayer is most simply defined as talking and listening to God, being in a relationship with God. You want to communicate with God. Now let's turn to Abraham's relationship to God. They were indeed partners. God had promised Abraham descendants and prosperity if he would obey and serve the Lord. They had a covenant deal together, partners. God yearns for relationship with the creatures that God has made in his image. So God welcomed Abraham's bargaining with him. And Abraham's prayer had an impact in the story. What exactly happened here between Abraham and God? Abraham apparently reminded God of the divine, just, merciful nature he had, and many people were spared. Some people say that God would never change his mind because God is unchanging. The great theologian John Calvin believed that what changes is not the sovereign, immovable God, but rather the human perspective of the situation. So, says Calvin, Abraham's perspective of God's justice and mercy changed as a result of his prayer. But personally, I don't buy this. I prefer the approach of the theologian Karl Barth, who believes in the sovereignty of God, to be sure, but Barth sees a God who chooses to be affected by prayer. Barth says, God is not deaf. God listens. More than that, God acts. God does not act in the same way whether we pray or not. Prayer exerts an influence upon God's action. That is what answer means. In the glory of his majesty, God yields to human petitions. God can be both reliably dependable, always loving, always merciful, always just, as well as being an attentive God whom we can affect. So we may take a lesson from Abraham and how he prays. You want to see yourself as a partner with God, mediating boldly, but also with humility. Abraham did not tell God what to do, but rather he reminded God of God's own promises to be just and merciful and loving towards God's creatures. Yes, he says that bold, persistent prayer is like a salesman who has the determination to wedge his foot in the door opening. Bold prayer is like a wrestler who has his opponent in a headlock and won't let go. Boldness makes a person's prayer heard by God. But boldness must be tempered by humility in a relationship too. A woman named Gail in Yancey's book gives this testimonial about humility. I've learned to bow low. The hard times I've gone through have taught me that God can use anything for his purposes. I've learned humility in prayer. God is the boss, not me. Whatever makes me bow lower is good for me, because it seems God takes great delight in raising us up too. And consider the humility that is required for confessing sins. Telling God what I'm doing wrong communicates something God already knows. Yet somehow, the act of confessing binds the relationship and allows a closeness that could not otherwise exist. I make myself vulnerable and dependent. upon mercy, bringing God and me together. Yancey also says, the same kind of intimacy happens when, all too rarely, I apologize to my wife for something we both know about. I do not bring her information, I bring her my heart, my humble self. All of this reflection leads us now to the two parables that Jesus tells in today's gospel. Our approach to prayer with God should be bold and persistent, yet humble as well. What does the first parable say about the midnight visitor, the host and his friend? There's an unfortunate situation where a late night visitor arrives and the host lets him in only to find out that the cupboard is bare. This is an embarrassment in the Middle Eastern culture, which puts a high priority on hospitality. So the host goes knocking to look for bread. He keeps on knocking persistently until he finally gets what he needs. The point here is more about dogged persistence than it is about friendship. Pray shamelessly for what you need. The application of the parable follows. Jesus says, ask, it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. Jesus also wants us to approach God as our parent. Humbly, we should approach God as our kind, loving provider when we pray. The contemporary theologian Clark Pinnock says we can picture God in two ways. God can be pictured as an aloof monarch, removed from the details of the world. Or we can picture God as a caring provider with traits of love, generosity, and sensitivity. The ground of being who personally interacts with and responds to creation. As that loving provider, God considers our prayer as much as a wise parent might consider requests from a child. Jesus gives the example of a child who receives what they need from the parent. After all, what earthly father or mother would sneak a snake under his son's pillow when he asks for a fish, or drop a scorpion in his daughter's breakfast plate instead of an egg? For some reason, I get that image of the rubber snake that was put under my pillow by my son when he was about 8. Anyway, God is the best of all parents who gives us good gifts. You've probably noticed that I've not touched upon the subject of the Lord's Prayer today. Prayer is such a vast topic, we'll need to leave the Lord's Prayer to another sermon. It is so very important. But to sum up, prayer from your heart is so powerful, so much so that your prayer can impact how God acts. Do not come to God stridently, telling God what to do. Rather, trusting in God's mercy, justice, and love, come to God asking boldly and do it persistently. Humbly open your heart. Amen. Please share your thoughts now.